Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, May 29th, 2013. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo. Hello, everybody.
So I want to say, before we get started on real stuff, every few seconds here, you are probably going to hear a noise. Or you might hear a noise. And it is not the beep that Yvonne likes to complain about. It is a new noise.
Which that beep is always there, and it's been there today, again.
I don't hear it anymore. It just faded into the background.
He's just tuned it out. It's freaking genius. I got to give credit for the fact that he's completely tuned it out.
No, but this new noise I have not yet tuned out. Oh, it just happened. I don't know if you heard it.
I did not.
You did not hear
it. I heard the beep right afterwards.
Well, so this new noise, and it's behind the microphone, and it's a directional microphone, so maybe you won't hear it because of that. I should turn around so that maybe you'll hear it. But Alex, my son, decided yesterday, day before, something like that, that he came into my office and I was watching something else, and he decided he wanted to watch a DVD.
Okay.
So he shoved it in my computer.
Okay.
And then
it won't come out.
Well, wait. And then it didn't, like, that DVD was all scratched up or something already, right?
Right.
So he picked another DVD and shoved it in.
Wait a minute. Had he removed the other one?
No. So, at least this is what I am assuming is happening, because now, about once every 30 seconds, the computer makes noises like it's trying to eject, but it can't.
And well, the microphone is directional, so yeah, it's not picking it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry you get to miss out on that, but it's so exciting. Yes. And it's not like I use the damn DVD player, CD player, for much of anything. I mean, like, when we are actually watching a DVD, which is very rare these days, most of our watching is streaming stuff at this point. But when we do, we usually watch it, you know, on an actual player on our projector screen downstairs and stuff like that. But, you know, occasionally he would use it up here.
Obviously, isn't it hilarious how this whole format war happened about, you know, about DVDs,
Blu-ray versus,
and the other thing, whatever the hell the other thing was. I can't remember what the hell it was. And you know what? I mean, it was all for nothing.
Well, I remember some of the conversations we had about that. And, you know, we would say, like, you know, one of these will win, but it'll be a temporary thing because the future is online.
Right.
You know, and whether it's streaming or whether it's you download it from iTunes or whatever. And it certainly seems like, you know, streaming is, you know, succeeding even more so than buying stuff at this point.
Correct.
But both of them are you know, exist and are out there and are used, you know, but actually getting the discs is fading out fast. Now, it still exists quite a lot. I mean, like, you know,
especially internationally. I mean, because bandwidth is not as good and the services are not there.
Well, and even here, you know, like, you know, I have talked to people who I would expect to be like online type people within the last year who are like, oh, we just use Redbox. And I'm
Redbox?
Redbox.
Seriously?
And I'm like, yeah. Who the hell knows who uses Redbox? Like,
well, I guess more people than we thought.
But at the same time, practically every time, like, I drive past a place that has one of those things, I see people picking up stuff or dropping stuff off. So I guess they're doing okay, but like, what I gather is they have some advantage in terms of having stuff sooner than online services.
Hmm.
You know, so if you're after the latest, greatest new release, maybe they have it before the others. I don't know. But like, I can't imagine at this point, like, actually leaving the house and going to get a physical disc and having a due date and having to bring it back by a specific time, all this kind of, I don't even know. Maybe Redbox doesn't have that. Have a due date. I don't know. I've never used them, but like, I can't imagine going through that process anymore. You know?
I mean, I don't know, for whatever. Let's put it to you this way. I don't even have a Blu-ray DVD player. I have some clunky DVD player that I bought for like $80, which I didn't even want to buy. My wife made me buy it. Okay. Because I'm like, why do I need this shit? I have a DVR, I think we had already like had like an Apple TV or had an Apple TV, and I'm like, why am I getting this piece of shit for? Okay, now she bought some DVDs But it is so – look, I will swear that we've played less than 30 DVDs total ever.
Well, I'll tell you, we do have a Blu-ray player. I mean, we our DVD player was dead, and it if we're going to buy something, it doesn't make sense to buy a DVD-only player.
And they're stupid cheap. I mean,
oh, there's like you can get a really decent one for $120, and you can get a cheap-ass crappy one for like $30.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but like we got one, and I'll tell you, you know, most of our watching is on streaming, but I do see like. I have watched a couple of Blu-rays on the Blu-ray player, and the quality is noticeably better than the streaming stuff or the online bot stuff. It is really nice. It really is. So what I would say is, like, I could see, like, if there was a movie that I really liked and thought I would watch multiple times and wanted to sort of have a, you know, semi-permanent copy of, I could see, you know, I would buy the Blu-ray.
And you're saying,
even
you're
now,
saying the Blu-ray HD version versus the online download HD version
yes.
is still better on the Blu-ray.
Oh, considerably. HD. Yes.
Yeah. And I can see that. It's substantially compressed.
The Blu-ray is uncompressed.
Right.
It is full, you know, and so yeah, it's much nicer. It's crisp, it's clean. You can tell the difference watching the streaming versus watching, you know, the Blu-ray version of it. But you know, I certainly wouldn't go out and buy Blu-rays every time I want to watch a movie. You know,
I'm just like right now I'm a stickler for quality to a certain extent, but I'm just like the convenience is just factor. It's just.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not not.
You know, when we first got it, I mean, I got a few Blu-ray DVD combos for movies for Alex, actually, that he watched quite a few times and he enjoyed and he liked and blah, blah, blah. Because we basically, once we got the Blu-ray, we're like, okay, if we're going to buy a disc, we'll buy the Blu-ray. Or a bunch of people actually, like Disney had these combo boxes where they'd give you both the Blu-ray and the DVD in one box.
Right.
You know, and that was cool. That worked. And that was, you know, but now, like, even now, like, I have bought stuff online that I already had on Blu-ray because having the Blu-ray version, I have to actually be at home, stick the thing in the Blu-ray player, or whatever. If I have the version from iTunes, it's on my computer, it's on my iPhone, it's on my iPad. And, you know, the kid can watch it wherever we happen to be. If he wants to watch Cars, he can watch freaking Cars, you know? Anyway.
All right.
So I just wanted to, like, explain the crappy noise, which you can't hear, apparently. But it's driving me nuts. And it's, like, one of these things. Like, my computer is on its deathbed, as we all know. I've talked about this before. And I'm trying to make it to 2014 before I replace it.
I don't know if you're going to make it at this rate.
Well, the thing is, I don't actually need the DVD player. I haven't used it for an actual real...
I get it.
But
it
makes a freaking noise every 30 seconds. It's like... and, you know, at a certain point, that'll drive me nuts.
Yeah, I can see how that could...
And I mean, I've already, like, tried to stick a knife in the damn hole to see if that would stop it, but no.
Yeah, I think you're kind of screwed.
I mean, I could try hitting it with a hammer, but I think that might have side effects.
That might have a deleterious impact on the computer. Yeah,
you know, at some point the motor might burn out or something, and then it'll stop. I mean, like, you know, if I buy the new IMAX don't even have the optical drive, do they?
I think they still did.
Yeah, do they?
I don't know. I of course I bought mine just before the new ones came out, so I don't know, but I thought they still did. I didn't think that they removed it. I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Nope. No optical drive.
Seriously?
No optical drive on the new IMAX.
Huh. Look at that.
So yeah, so it's like it's not like I mean, and I could take the damn thing in to be repaired, but it's not freaking worth that. You know? Anyway, we have real topics. Obama made a big national security speech, and there's been some talk of terrorism and blah, blah, blah in conjunction with that. The Toronto mayor has been up to some hijinks, and which seem to just be expanding out. Every time you hear more about it, there's more going on. There have been events in Syria. Our friend John McCain was in Syria earlier today, I believe, or yesterday or something like that. And Yvonne wants to talk about IDC, the research group, pronounced some big news that everybody else has known for years. So, shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay. Obama's national security speech. Obama gave a long-anticipated speech justifying his approach to terrorism. And, you know, anybody who wants to read the details of it, go Google it. You can read the transcript. You can see the video. You can do all that stuff. I'm not going to try to recap all of it. But basically, it was a long, detailed, point-by-point justification of the types of policies that his administration has taken. And before I get to the part where I criticize anything he said, I want to say I was really impressed by the fact that this wasn't a speech full of just frothy, meaningless statements that make you feel good. He was actually like talking about the issues, making actual arguments, talking about the arguments people were making against him and countering them. So it was
in the speech, he did address a number of specific things, which I think that both you and I have expressed dismay at. He talked about drone policy, talked about Guantanamo.
Yep.
And he talked in general about the conduct of war, and basically he's trying to change the focus of America from like being like George Bush called it, being on a war on terror, in which we're not a fucking war.
Right.
Terrorism is something that all nations in the world have to live with. We shouldn't be on a damn war footing because of it. And therefore, we need to redirect our resources in order to be able to address that more effectively instead of the big war machine that, for the most part, we have, which is really not that effective against the threats that we have right now.
And this part of the speech I thought was I was impressed by the fact he took real arguments. I was impressed by the fact that he specifically started to say, hey, we will need to roll this back. We want to go back to, you know, we can't maintain this forever. You know, he said eventually we might need to repeal the, what was it called? The Defense Authorization Act or whatever it was.
Right.
And so there were a lot of good things here. He said a lot of good things. And I will tell you, like, when he made the arguments about, using drones and, against the alternatives and, hey, this is saving lives and we do care about civilian casualties and it's an inevitable outcome of war and it's unfortunate and we do our best, blah, blah, blah. He made a lot of, you know, I felt good about a lot of what he was saying, as I was listening to the speech, you know, I admit I was falling under the spell. I was like, oh wow, he might actually be convincing me here. I trust him a lot more than I did before. And then it was only after the speech was over that I started thinking about, okay, what are the things that he didn't say here? Okay, well, first of all, like, you know, he made the strong argument that, hey, you know, if somebody is definitively out to get us, even if it's an American citizen, we're absolutely justified in going after them, et cetera, et cetera. And in principle, I don't disagree with that. But the part he didn't get to, which is a major part of the criticisms, are who decides and where's the accountability for those decisions? And he talked a little bit about, hey, we want to investigate that. But he didn't really go down that path, very deeply. No, it doesn't need a third DVD. It's already got two in there. No.
Oh, God, okay.
No, you can't put more in there. Yeah, okay.
No more!
So anyway, one is the accountability, and that's one of the places where he's major. I think there's a major failing here, because basically what he's saying is, we need to do this because we need to do this. Trust me.
Done.
Not done yet.
Yes, you are.
I'll take a break in a second and get you some food.
I'm done talking.
I'm not done talking.
Me am.
You're done talking?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'll start talking again.
No.
Anyway.
It's a dog you talk.
The other...
No,
but if he rolls back, but let's put it this way.
Let's take a quick break.
Take a break.
Yes, we're taking a break.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Yep, I'll get him a snack, and we'll be right back.
Okay, all right, let me turn this back up.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, I was saying accountability is one thing, and I'm distracted and probably forgot the other one now. I don't know. What do you think, Yvonne?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, while my conclusion after I heard the speech was I like the tones that he's talking about, but the problem is that a number of the things that he talked about that he mentioned here are things that he's talked about
before. And it's like, let's have the actions to back this up.
Correct. Okay. It's like, let's go back to closing Guantanamo. Okay. For example, we talked about that in the 2008 election.
And even there, I've said before, closing Guantanamo is a distraction. The real issue is stopping bad behaviors that were going on at Guantanamo. Now, he's already stopped some things, but we still have people who are detained indefinitely with no prospect of getting out, including in some cases, people who we've already determined are not a threat, but we just can't figure out what to do with them.
Well, we need to figure out what the hell to do with them, because detaining them indefinitely is not a fucking solution, okay? And if we deem them not a threat, then fucking let them go. Let them the fuck go.
Yeah.
Okay? Just fucking do it. But just sitting on it and leaving these people there to rot for no particularly good reason whatsoever, it's not a fucking answer. Okay? That's my frustration. Okay? Right. There's been enough. Enough is enough. Just fucking do it.
I remembered my other point, and it's related to the transparent. It's related to who decides. But this, the second part of it is what the justification is. Because fundamentally, his argument on drone strikes, for instance, is this is necessary because in the end it saves lives. Yes, we've killed people. Yes, we've killed innocent people in some cases, but it's dwarfed by the number of innocents who would have died if we just let these people go free. And so his argument is that there are two alternatives to what he's doing. One is to do nothing, and he says that's untenable because these are dangerous people and they would have caused damage and they would have killed all sorts of people themselves. And the other is full-scale traditional war, which would, of course, kill lots more people.
Or let me go back. Look, not even it's not even full-scale war. If you think about it, I remember in the Bush the first administration and Clinton administration, we used to go and like launch frickin' Tomahawks, okay, yeah, into targets that we said, well, there's an area over here. A fucking Tomahawk spread into a place is not exactly a surgical strike.
No, okay. Well, look, all of these, that is less targeted than the drone strikes, which is less targeted than if you put in B-52s, you know?
Right.
And that's probably less targeted than nuking the place, you know?
Yeah. I would think that nuking the place is not a surgical strike.
So, I mean, there are different levels of this. And so certainly there is the option of even more kinetic, more widespread attacks. But the main argument he's making, so I buy the argument about why a drone strike is preferable to an even bigger involvement. But the argument that the drone strike is preferable to doing nothing because we're preventing future attacks, that's possibly plausible, but there should be a very high standard of evidence there, and we should have access, maybe after the fact, but we should have access to the details that make that judgment possible. Because as it is, he's saying, I just killed hundreds of people in Yemen and Pakistan and Afghanistan and wherever, and it's okay, trust me, because they were bad guys.
Well, but I think that this goes back a little bit if you go just to the overall conduct of how the presidents use power in order to conduct foreign policy. Because the thing is that, okay, now we use drones. So before we talked about Tomahawks, CIA action, whatever the hell you want, okay? Actions that we used that caused, you know, deaths, okay, that because this was in defense of American interests, okay? Mm-hmm. And that it saved lives, supposedly, right? I think, you know, this is a check that I don't think that exists properly between our branches of government in terms of how the president carries such an action and the justification in order to carry such an action. I think that historically, the fact that we're using drones right now makes it different, but I think that if you look at it, it's an issue that we've had historically with President. Since as far back as I can remember right now, presidents that I recall.
Well, I think that the problem is at this point, you know, if there was a major foreign power, like, I mean, you could see the arguments. Certainly World War II, you had a big power that was obviously aggressive going after all of its neighbors. And you could even see that argument, Korea, Vietnam, whatever. And you could stretch it to say, you know, there was the whole domino effect theory that, you know, if we let Vietnam go, then all these other countries will fall. And then, you know, eventually they'll attack the U.S. Okay, that was stretching it. But at least there was an argument there. The worst thing that, you know, these various terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda offshoots, et cetera, they've proven they can do damage. But they've never even come remotely close to looking like an existential threat for the United States. I mean, like you said...
Well, I think some people would debate that, okay?
Oh, come on.
All right. You know, given what happened in September 11th...
September 11th was a traumatic event for the nation. At no point in time, with anything related to that, was there a prospect that the United States government would fall and be replaced by a caliphate.
It wouldn't... Okay, no. That the United States government would fall, no. But, let's face it, if as been speculated, one of the planes that, you know, that was headed for Washington actually struck the targets that they were intending to, the psychological blow would have been even far worse than it will.
Yes, but it, like, they let's say they blew up a bunch of congressmen and the vice president.
What if they fucking loaded a nuke into one of those planes that actually went, like, fucking dropped it into D.C.? Now, even still, I get your point. Would that have,
we don't have them yet.
Broken apart the American nation? No. Okay? Probably would have driven us nuts. Probably fucking like.
Yeah, if you thought what we actually did in the last 10 years was nuts. And
yeah, that would have been. I mean, that would have been insane. Yeah. So thankfully that didn't happen. Okay. Right. But
my main point is, like, the threat of Al-Qaeda is in an entirely different scale than, say, the threat of war with the Soviet Union during the Cold War.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, they are not the same threats. It's not a threat of the country being invaded and us basically being under, you know, a
dictator. Or a nuclear war that destroys the country and the world.
Exactly. You know? None of those are those threats. But the point is that if you look at the conduct over the last, like, since World War II, I'm talking just about that period. I'm not going to go delve into a previous period, basically because I don't have as many as good examples, and plus the United States is a different country, so it doesn't matter. But if you look at that period, okay, think about all the places where we intervened and that we probably did assassinations. If you look at Chile, Argentina, Nicaragua, I mean, you know, just to throw a couple of examples. I mean,
there's no question this country has done things of equal or greater magnitude in the past.
I mean, oh, hell yeah. I mean, we have been, I mean, as our government has been doing covert action that has resulted in the assassination, in the toppling of foreign governments, okay,
I think this is actually a very good point, because I think there's plenty of evidence that, if not in all of those cases, then certainly in a very significant fraction of those cases, in the end, we've made things worse.
I absolutely agree. I'm sure in some we did, in some we didn't.
I'll grant you that in some cases maybe it worked out.
It wasn't intentionally. It was by accident that they wound up better. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, I mean, like in all of these cases, we're undoubtedly trying to make things better, but like, you know, when we prop up dictators that people don't like, when we assassinate a democratically elected person just because they seem more left wing than we would like, you know, basically in all of these cases, we're meddling in other people's affairs and we're pissing them off, you know, and that just builds up all kinds of things over the years. And in the end, I think is counterproductive. And I think, you know, in the arguments, in these arguments here, the argument is, hey, we have this one terrorist here. He's plotting against the United States. He's going to try to make an attack. So we're going to take him out and prevent him from doing the attack, and that saves lives. Very well. Alex, no, don't throw things at the computer screen. See, this is what happens when I try to record a show without someone here to, like, distract it.
That sound I could hear.
No. It's a weeble, by the way. Alex, okay, take it out there. Run. Okay. You're making the argument that you save lives by doing that. And I think there should be a high level of proof that that's true, because the possibility that you're causing all of this other stuff further down the line that'll cause even more damage, like, you know... You're causing additional destabilization, you know, and so you may kill this guy, but if five of his relatives get radicalized because you did, are you really making the world a net better place at the end of that? I just don't know. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but I think there should be a very high level of justification required where, you know, and maybe it is after the fact, because you can't tell people beforehand because it compromises the operation or whatever. But after the fact, you should be able to come and make a very detailed justification of why you did what you did, as opposed to just saying, hey, guys, trust me, which is, I think, all we really get right now.
Well, I totally agree. But I thought that part of what he explained was that he was wanting, and I didn't read further into the I didn't delve into the details of exactly what the proposal was, but did I understand that he made a proposal where he wanted more accountability in terms of the drone strikes?
He said he was willing to talk about proposals to make it more accountable,
but he didn't put something down
on the table specifically. He said he thought that was a good idea and was open to proposals, but there were pros and cons to different things that had been discussed. And frankly, that's all reasonable. That's all true. But again, this is another place where, like you said earlier, he's said stuff like this before. He ran for office saying this would be the most transparent administration in U.S. history. And that's been far from the truth. And so, like, on all of these things, I think it's like, well, nice words. Call me back when you've actually done something.
Or, you know what? He could have put a far more concrete proposal on the table. I mean, it is the other point, which is why, you know, you asked, so we went through the topics, and you wonder, why didn't I put anything down regarding the... Regarding this, into my list of topics. The reason was, I felt that the speech was good, like, as a policy discussion, okay, yeah. If we talk like that. But honestly, in terms of actions that we were going to take to actually improve any of this shit, I just didn't feel like he'd really backed it up. And so, while I agree with his overall stance, I want to see when he puts some more stuff on the table, that's how we're going to do it.
Okay, I guess we agree there. The other thing that, and I'm not going to have a whole discussion on this because we've talked enough, but I do want to mention there was a very interesting conversation that went on about sort of what is the definition of terrorism and why it matters that we discuss it. And so I'll point you at two or three articles. So one is, Was the London Killing of a British Soldier Terrorism? By Glenn Greenwald. That was in The Guardian. And then we had Andrew Sullivan making an article, An Islamist Beheading in Britain Continued. And that's in Andrew Sullivan's Dish, where he sort of, I consider he missed Greenwald's point entirely, but it made for an interesting debate. Greenwald, also in The Guardian, wrote Andrew Sullivan, Terrorism and the Art of Distortion, a couple days later, countering those arguments. And this was just a very, very interesting debate on why it is or is not important to have an actual definition of what terrorism is that you stick to. And then sort of a final coda on that one. There was Why Defining Terrorism Matters by Carolina Lula on themonkeycage.org, which sort of summed it up, I think, to me. And like a big part of this argument is just like the traditional definition of terrorism is three-pronged, politically motivated, perpetrated by non-state actors, and target civilians. So, for instance, with that definition, neither the attack on the soldier in Great Britain or the Benghazi attacks are terrorism because they both have governmental non-civilian targets. And does it matter that we're careful on, like in those cases, you would say it's some sort of guerrilla attack or something like that, but not terrorism? And is it important? Does the name matter? And anyway, I think it's a very interesting debate. Go read those articles. Shall we take a break?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay, we're back. So, Yvonne, you've said you don't know anything about this.
I have no idea.
Okay. So there are a number of publications following this. So just search on Rob Ford Toronto. You'll see all kinds of stuff. I'm sure Wikipedia is up to date at this point, too. So this all started with two reporters from the Toronto Star and I guess a couple other people, including someone from Gawker, were given a preview of a videotape that showed Mayor Ford of Toronto doing crack with two Somalian drug dealers.
Excuse me?
Doing crack with two Somalian drug dealers. Now, apparently, the reason this video was shopped out to the reporters is that the Somalian drug dealers are trying to auction it off to the highest bidder.
Well, isn't that something?
And so Gawker actually has an Indiegogo campaign to raise money to buy the cocaine tape.
Okay.
So
isn't that illegal?
They're not actually blackmailing the guy, apparently. They're just auctioning the tape to the highest bidder.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, I guess. All right.
So now you start with this. But then it gets weirder because apparently, and so there's a lot going on here, so it's confusing. So apparently, Mayor Ford was trying to organize some sort of, I don't know the right word to use, some sort of effort to get the tape from the Somalian drug dealers.
Cash or violent?
Unclear. It sounded like he was going to like organize some sort of commando raid or something.
Okay.
But that's unclear, because what happened was one of his staff members got wind of that and went to the cops. Okay? Because apparently one of the other people in this tape, so there was Ford was in the tape, the Somalian drug dealers, and apparently one other guy apparently was just murdered as well.
Okay.
So, and apparently potentially related to all these things. The guy who was murdered was a Toronto drug dealer who was in the, who has also been in pictures with like a group hug with Ford somewhere.
Okay.
And then they started looking into Ford's family.
Yeah.
And apparently the mayor's brother, who is also a Toronto city council guy, was a major trafficker of hashish during the 1980s in Toronto. And then there was a third brother who faced a charge related to a drug-related kidnapping. And then his sister was also somehow involved with some sort of gun violence thing. Although apparently she might have been a victim.
So was any of this like suspected before he got elected or something?
Apparently not, I guess. And then both him and his brother have put out denials, but not very convincing sounding denials. And the meantime, this web of stuff is just expanding, and the guy hasn't resigned yet or anything either. I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things. This has no real significance in the world. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, some guy with all of this stuff going. First of all, the guy got a.
Well, could I in you know, just
it's not like we haven't had our own mayors doing crap.
Exactly.
Yeah, and one radio station in D.C. actually called up former Mayor Barry of Washington D.C.
Yeah.
To ask him what he thought of all this.
What did he say?
Oh God. Let me find this. Okay. Marion Barry. Yeah. Bringing it up right now. There's the quote. U.S. This didn't have the quote. He denies any parallels, is this what this one article saw. But I thought I saw another one that was more colorful, let's say. I probably won't be able to find it real quick. But yeah, it's not like we don't have our politicians getting in trouble for all kinds of stuff. But
you know, we've had the guys walking the Appalachian Trail. We got, crack bribes. Yeah, we got just about everything, sure.
Unless he was entrapped by the government, it's not similar, Barry says. Barry declined to offer advice for Ford, saying he's too focused on the residents of Ward 8 in D.C.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure he is.
Anyway. And there's no word if Ford, like Barry, on his tape said, "Bitch, set me up."
Oh gosh!
But yeah, so this is just craziness, and it's like it's one of those interesting ones because every other day you look at it and there's something new. It's like, okay, now there's a murder involved. Now you've got the mayor apparently doing some sort of thing where he's going to get the tape back and not go to the authorities. He's going to get the tape back. You've got websites raising money to buy this damn tape. You've got all the mayor's relatives apparently involved in one nefarious thing or another. And it's just like, wow, look at that. But again, no major. Yeah. world impact, really. I'm sure the result of this is the guy's going to resign or be tossed out or something, and there may be, you know, he may end up going to jail for something, and, you know, we may see that. Oh, yeah, and of course, in the damn tape, he's not just doing crack. He's doing crack with a bunch of Somalian drug dealers.
Interesting.
Anyway, let's move on. Syria.
Yeah, it's not like with a whole bunch of cops, right?
What? Cops? What?
Well, no, since what's his name keeps saying that he was entrapped, Marion Barry. You know?
Oh, yes, yes.
Right. Yeah. Like he never fucked whores and did drugs. No. It was one time and it was just there. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, Syria. Yvonne has been complaining to me in the pre-game show. Pre-game show, is that what we call it?
Yes, we do.
Anyway, that we the last few weeks he's been like, "Hey, Syria, we should talk about Syria again," and I've been like, whatever, Syria."
Well, the reason I wanted to talk about this whole thing about Syria is the fact that Hezbollah went and like openly went and sided with the Syrian government, and what they wound up doing by that is basically all of a sudden drawing Lebanon into this whole mess, like right now with Syria. Okay.
Well, that's got to be Syria's whole game plan, is to expand this to be regional as much as possible, right?
Well, they're succeeding at this point. But on the other hand, here's, you know, so apparently, I don't know if you saw this week,
John McCain. I was about to say, meanwhile, John McCain's there.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing, because here's the situation we got right now.
Well,
here's
one thing I will say.
Yeah,
I bet you anything that John McCain's mission was fully endorsed by the Obama administration, and he was probably carrying messages from them.
You do believe so?
I do not think he's doing an unauthorized.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I still remember, you know, when he did that crazy, stupid thing with like suspending the fucking campaign to go and solve the supposed like financial crisis. So nothing would surprise me from John McCain.
But you know, I mean, I know that the administration knew he was going. They put out a statement saying so, but that doesn't say they were collaborating with him in any way. But I would doubt if they weren't. You know, now there have been instances.
Okay, so let's say that maybe he was in collaboration. The thing is that a whole bunch of Republicans have been, and a lot of people have been going, well, let's back the other side. Back who? This thing is such a clusterfuck.
I guess that's what he's going there to find out, right?
I don't see how the hell we get in on either side of this clusterfuck, if I'm honest. The only thing that maybe we could get in on a side is to try to, like, be as a peace broker and try to negotiate, like, everybody to stop shooting at each other. But honestly, a whole bunch of people have been saying, well, we need to arm the rebels. A lot of those rebels hate us! Our fucking guts!
Those rebels are openly Al-Qaeda affiliates.
Exactly! What the fuck are we gonna be giving them weapons? Okay? Are you kidding me? No! I don't want to arm them. Well, I have zero interest in arming them.
This is one of those fundamental things. I think you're absolutely right. It's like there's no clear. It's like, are we going to believe in the magic beans again, that we support the opposition, they overthrow the dictator, and all of a sudden is a magic Western democracy that's happy and friendly to the United States?
Exactly. It doesn't work that way. We've already tried this before. We know it doesn't fucking work.
No, I mean, it's like, look, I know that it's an absolute tragedy what's going on there. All kinds of people are dying. But I fundamentally think the best possible thing that we can do is stay the fuck out of it.
Well, I don't think that we should try to back anybody militarily. About the only thing that I think that we should be actively involved, which somebody did suggest and I will wholeheartedly agree, is as, listen, why don't we talk to the fucking Russians and say, listen, let's not give any more weapons to anybody. Let's try to broker a peace here, because this definitely, by the point of a gun, there's nothing good coming out of this.
Well, and meanwhile, you know, because the EU lifted restrictions on sending weapons into Syria, you know, Russia is like, okay, well, we'll give them more anti-aircraft stuff. It's not directly related. There was also the Israeli attack. Israel did an airstrike inside Syrian borders 2 weeks ago now.
Yes.
So, of course, the Russians are like, well, I guess they need better air defense then. You know, it all kind of, you know, duh. If you don't expect that, then you should have.
Yeah, I know. And of course, now, like, with Hezbollah getting into it, you know, the whole thing about Hezbollah getting into it, the only angle I saw from that was not a positive or a negative from it. What I saw was what's exactly happened. It's like, as you mentioned, this conflict is fucking, like, spilling into Lebanon now and further at some point. That's the only thing I see.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I'm like, why I am advocating not going in and arming any of these people and just somehow.
We should be doing everything possible to contain this and make sure it doesn't spread. We should not be in the, we should not be getting involved more deeply. You know, and Frank, you know, I don't know. Frankly, this is one of those cases, you know, Assad may have been horrible, but this is worse. I mean, who knows where it'll end up next, but certainly the last 2 years of what, if I lived in Syria at this point, I'd be like, I liked it better before there started to be a war.
Well, look at the fucking Iraqis. If you ask the average Iraqi right now, if they would, you know, how they were before.
If they take Saddam back in exchange for, you know.
Unfortunately, I'd say that probably a lot of them would say the percentage-wise, he'd win.
Because, look, the bottom line in both of these scenarios is you had a horrible dictator who had a bunch of abuses. No doubts about that. He killed a bunch of people. He was abused his power in dozens and dozens and dozens of different ways. It was not pleasant to live under Saddam Hussein, especially if you didn't agree with him on everything. However, you know, it was a secular society. You know, the various sects got along with each other. They lived together. They didn't. There weren't battles on the street, and you know, things worked basically. I'm talking going back before the first Gulf War at this point, to make that comparison. And you know, same
kind
of
thing. But even after the first Gulf War. I mean, if you went back to before the second Gulf War, if they would still kept that, they would still say yes.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
Doggy broke his Easter.
Doggy broke his Easter?
Mine Easter.
Oh, you got him for Easter?
Doggy. That was mine Easter.
Oh.
Doggy broke it.
Oh, I know.
You got the new one?
We'll get new batteries in him. Anyway, let me finish.
He got two.
I know it needed three batteries though. I think you and I agree on Syria. I'd be very interested to hear somebody with the opposite position that we have to get in. I mean, I think the primary argument for getting in is Assad is horrible, needs to go. Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, but we're to replace him with what exactly at this point? I mean, that's my point.
Yeah.
Great. An Al-Qaeda offshoot to control Syria? Brilliant. Genius.
And I guess, you know, you could have people arguing that we have to carefully pick and choose which rebels we back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's worked very well before for us. Oh, come on, people. Wake the fuck up. I mean, Jesus, we did this stupid thing with Afghanistan, the same thing. We got fucked up the ass with it. We tried to do the same. God, come on, people. You know, pick
the
right rebels.
I mean, fundamentally, you've got local concerns and a local issue, and foreign powers meddling in it just makes it freaking worse.
Right.
It's not like if we had the magic ability to wave a magic wand and stop the violence, damn right I'd use that magic wand, but we don't.
Can we exert pressure and can we bring some stuff to bear and use certain carrots and sticks externally to try to bring them to stop the fighting and to get to a better position? We probably do. But it's not by going and just flooding the place with weapons and going and siding like the rebels just because they're the enemy of our enemy. That's not going to be the solution.
Yeah, we've got a horribly violent place with people killing each other all the time. How do we make it better? More weapons!
Yeah! Send them more guns!
I don't think that's the solution.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Okay, let's take a really quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about IDC and wrap it up before Roscoe and Alex start barking at each other again. We'll be right back. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind. You can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, we're here. And there they go barking at each other. Yeah, right on cue. So, IDC. Now, IDC is some kind of research group. What are they again?
Oh, they're one of the major like market research firms that publishes data that most every
they're
magazine
like Gartner
or whatever.
And one of those.
It's like one of the, you got Gartner, IDC. They're one of the major. They're Gartner and IDC are the two big players in the that provide like information on terms of. Market share in the technology industry, right. And they said, "Wow! By the end of this year, mobile tablet sales will and mobile device sales will eclipse personal computer sales."
Yeah.
Wow. Well, but you know, the thing
is it a time frame thing that's new? Because I mean. Or is it just they're acknowledging the trend that everybody's been talking about for years?
Yeah, basically, yeah. But, you know, it's just like typical of like the press and everybody, you know. It never ceases to amaze me how most of our press is like, I'm going to say at least over 80-90% are just people who have very little knowledge about what they're covering.
Well, there's also the whole thing of you don't want to go out on a limb and make a prediction that it might be wrong.
Sure. And that way, you know, then you can just talk about everything after it's happened, and therefore you will never be wrong. So why the hell do I need a company that provides
me information? I hear there's this Facebook thing that the kids are using.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is that this company is supposed to be telling people about future market trends and everything, and they're always like, they always like announce stuff when after it's happened, you know? I still remember the funniest one. I was like working with them on some market share information in the early 2000s about sales in the IT industry, and even in the face of the tech implosion, they were still forecasting growth into 2001, if I remember. And I mean, I'm like looking at the numbers, and I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I'm like, you know, this is just idiotic. And then in 2002, after 2001 happened, they said, oh, yes, there was a slowdown last year. I'm like, you think? You needed a crystal ball to figure this out? No, you needed a rearview mirror to figure this out? You couldn't forecast this, you stupid assholes? So that's my point. So basically, I guess that the point is that if they're saying it, it means it already happened. It's like you're late to the party, bottom line. Whatever they say, whatever they forecast anything, I guess that's my point. So, so they finally came around and finally said, yep, the post-PC era is here.
I'd heard rumors.
Yeah, you did?
I'd heard rumors that someday somebody might want to not use their, like, 27-inch desktop all the time.
I think it's just a difference. It's not like we don't use it. I mean, I have.
I know.
And
all the time.
I all the time, but I mean, the difference now is that we can do computing in such different ways than we used to do it.
Although okay? You still occasionally get those pictures that circulate of like the guy taking his iMac to Starbucks.
Nah, come on.
Google it. You'll find it. There are people who do that.
Okay, those people are kind of dumb. Or homeless? What the hell? Or they got roommates that are too annoying, so they basically take it there. I mean, I gotta think it's something like that. I mean, why the hell otherwise would you do something like that?
You know, yeah.
Hey, you know.
So literally, just Google StarMax. StarMax.
StarMax. StarMax. Actually, that was.
I know it was a clone. Like, it was a
yes,
clone.
Of a clone of a Mac clone. Yes.
Starbucks iMac, and you'll immediately find references. You know, like the first link.
Like you said, you know, people will do it just about anything. You know, brilliant or dumb, I guess.
And you know, some people are just going to do it to be funny. You know.
I mean, I'm going to guess that some guys are just, you know, maybe they have a very annoying roommate and they had something to do and they couldn't take it anymore.
Could
and they
be.
Just said, fuck it. I need to find a quiet place with internet. I'm taking it to you know, there it is. IMAX in inappropriate places. The Atlantic. There we go.
Starbucks edition. Yeah, that's one of the examples.
Yeah, and it's like one noble's like just like mine. Wow. Damn. Jesus. Well, I see. Well, here's the thing. I see. Well, I saw these guys that had actually, like, I'm seeing pictures of guys with, like, full, like, not even a LCD screen with, like, actual, like, CRT screens, like, inside a Starbucks. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing, wow. Yeah, I see a guy with a, oh my god, I'm looking at, okay, the IMAX are pretty cool, but when I see a Dell Tower together with a regular CRT monitor and a Starbucks plugged in somewhere, dude, that guy's got real problems.
Anyway, like, the point of all this is, people are using tablets.
I mean, I will access my iMac at home. From my iPhone and do stuff on it when I need to do something that is just I want to run it on a computer instead of running it on my on the phone. Okay, like a spreadsheet. I want to pop open, or there are certain applications that I may want to run. Okay, and it's just not the same thing on the phone as it is on a computer. So I'll log in and I'll pull it up and I'll do that. But yeah, I mean, but I can actually do it. You see, I don't have this phobia about the screen being that small. I mean, I can actually read it just fine on my phone. You know, I don't. You know, I mean, so anyway, but yes, mobile computing is here to stay, Sam.
Yeah, well, until you know, the wearable stuff takes off and displaces that.
I gotta be honest with you. I really don't think that thing is gonna take off as much as everybody says.
Yeah, we've talked about this too, but we're getting boring here. I think, you know, the current generation, no. At some point, somebody may make one. I mean, the Google Glass is just a proof of concept. It's not a real product yet. Like, right. It's going to take a few more generations before that kind of stuff can do something mainstream. But I actually have no doubt that at some point in the future, someone will make more wearable devices that are useful in some way, probably as a complement to something like a tablet or a more traditional handheld phone device.
That I do agree.
Well, even the Google Glass is intended as a complement. It works with your Android phone. It's not.
But you see, you know. I see people, like, for example, okay, you know, look, you start using them at home. I mean, if I'm at home, I don't want to fucking be. I mean, I want to be looking at a real display. I don't want to be looking at that. But if you think of like, I could see a lot of potential uses for it. It's just not the kind of uses that I see people talking about right now. I think that, like, for example, I'll give you my vision. Think about, you know, you're at an airport, right? And, you know, you've got these people that work, that, you know, receive flights, right? And they need to look up information or whatever. Well, if they have a wearable computer like that, well, they could be looking up your flight information or whatever, whatnot, right there. And they don't have to be near a kiosk. They could be doing that. There you go. So that's customer service right there. If you're at a restaurant, for example, and people are taking orders and they're looking information or so, whatever, I could see uses like that. I think the technology is good. I think that, you know, that it has a whole bunch of uses. But I got to tell you something. If I'm in my fucking dinner table and my kid's wearing them, I'm going to fucking like slap his face and fucking like take him off his face.
You know what I think will be a more rapid advance once it becomes widely available? The flexible screens.
Yes.
Especially flexible touch screens. Like, could you imagine a... Like, you just mentioned the restaurant example. What if you just had your regular old menu, but it was interactive, could change its display, and you could select what you wanted to eat by touching it on the menu?
Oh, that would be awesome. I think that's something that is going to happen. Because
without handing out, like, a big bulky iPad, just something in the same kind of form factor as your menu.
Absolutely. And I think that's the future that you're looking at. Because the thing is that, okay, you know, some people talk about, well, project into your device. But your device may not give the user experience that the restaurant wants. The restaurant wants you to have a certain user experience to look at their stuff, okay? And so they will provide you that, okay? It's going to be resistant. It's going to be cost effective. It's going to provide you what they want you to look at, the way they want you to look at and experience their stuff. And yeah, I see that. I definitely see that in the not so far future. So, all right. So we've completely gone off the reservation.
I think we're done here.
We're done. We're out. Okay. All right. There you go. Sign us off and we could go. I could finish watching the basketball game at some point.
Basketball?
Yeah.
Is that like hockey?
It's sort of like hockey, but it's with a ball.
And bouncier.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. We're done with the show. Thank you all for joining us as usual. Contact me with any questions, comments, concerns. I'm available on email, ablesmay@ablesmay.com. You can get me on Facebook, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. I'm Ablesmay everywhere, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Even Google Plus, although I'm probably going to pull back a little bit from Google Plus soon. Anyway. Yeah.
I didn't know you were in.
You're just forgetting because, like, we've talked about Google Plus before.
I know. I know you were in, but I didn't know you were that far in.
Well, I just repost the stuff from my blog.
Oh, okay.
Nothing exciting, but I'm probably going to not do that as much or ever. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Because there are a few people who actually respond to things when I put them on Google Plus, and I'm like, I feel bad about cutting them out, but at the same time, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. So. It's another fucking thing that barely anybody reads. Anyway.
Anyway, right. That's it. Thank you, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Say
goodbye, Yvonne. Yeah, there you go. Bye. Adios. Goodbye.
Sayonara.